name is Sydney, and I'm super excited to be talking to another YN fanfiction author this year.
Holy crap. My name is Maya. I'm very excited, too, but also Undertale.
Hi, my name is Allie. I'm also known as Mika Mochi on AO3 and Wattpad, respectfully, and I write YN Undertale fanfiction.
Woo! Yay! So we have been so lucky to be blessed by an abundance of YN fic writers this year, but unlike previously where we were in the world of television and movies, today we are in the world of video games, specifically a video game that I know very little of, which is very outside my comfort zone, but that's why Maya's here, thank God. They are the author of For This You Were Born, Loving a Monster is Probably Unconventional, and Sky Fall. Welcome, Allie, aka Mika Mochi.
Yay!
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so blessed and honored. Oh my god.
Very sweet.
YN authors unite.
Absolutely. I was like, this is gonna be an hour of just being us being just like, oh my god, no, it's so great. Aren't YN fics amazing? You're just amazing. Wow.
I will defend YN fics till the day I die.
Like, I will. Fan fiction and then YN fics, like, specifically. Like, I will defend fan fiction to, like, anybody, and then within fan fiction, I will defend YN until, like, I die.
Specifically Undertale YNs, too, because we catch so much flack on Twitter and online, and I was like, oh no, listen, it's so good. When you find the right ones...
I feel like, yeah, I understand that. I don't know about much about Undertale, so I have questions for you in that regard. And obviously, Maya knows a lot about Undertale. I don't know, is it your favorite video game? No, your favorite's Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, my favorite are Skyrim and Breath of the Wild. Yeah, because they're like very similar. But Undertale was a big part of like middle school and high. Like I was one of those kids.
Yeah.
So respect. I'm so excited for Deltarune. Whenever he decides to come out with the rest of those.
I gotta be honest, I don't want to get canceled for this. I actually have not watched Deltarune at all. And
dude, you're not gonna get canceled for that.
I don't know what it is about Deltarune that really set me off, but something about it, I was just like, I'm good, thanks though.
I mean, I think that's really completely fair.
Yeah, I understand, was content. Yeah, I was gonna say the same thing where it's like you have, you know, the original Undertale and you're just like, I'm okay here. I don't need anything more. I don't want to ruin this.
No, exactly. Once it ended, it kind of like put the little bow on the end and I just like cradled it like my baby throughout high school.
Right.
And it was after that, I haven't really felt a separation from that game.
I understand. I don't, but I do, you know? But I'm glad that Maya's here. So anyways, we'll... gonna jump in, and the first question is just a brief retelling, telling us about your relationship with fan fiction. How did you find and get started reading and writing fan fiction?
Right. Okay. So it's kind of a long story, if I'm being honest with you. I've had an up and down relationship with it for years, but shockingly enough, I actually like started on Wattpad. And I think I was in like the fifth grade. It was 2014, and I just remember like this was before I had gotten put on like any medication for like my ADHD, and so I had a super wild imagination. Like I would doodle in class and like write like little paragraphs of stories of like just small little things that I really liked, just like putting my mind on paper, and. My first ever thing that I ever published on Wattpad, it's a little embarrassing, but it was a Jacksepticeye fic, actually. I was heavy.
Whoa. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. I was heavy into Jacksepticeye and Markiplier for the longest time. Still am.
Was it Jacksepticeye X reader like you are now?
Yeah.
Or were you? Yeah, it was? Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know what YN was, actually, until, like, I didn't know it was called YN until I got onto AO3. Back then, I just called it X Readers.
Okay.
But then, like, for a while, I just kind of, like, drifted, and then I hit, like, peak middle school, 7th and 8th grade, and that, being a bit vulnerable, that was around the time where my father had, like, re-entered back into my life, and so that was kind of like a coping mechanism for me.
Yeah.
Specifically like with Undertale 2, it was kind of a new threshold in this game, like this game meant so much to me at that right. time, and it really helped me a lot through like 2018-ish. Mm-hmm. And I persistently wrote on Wattpad for a very long time, and I posted, I think, a good like 15 or 16 works, from like all fandoms, like Undertale, mm-hmm. FNAF. I did My Hero Academia, respectfully, and just all those things. But I ended up around sophomore year of high school, I fell out of fanfiction for a long time, and I took down, I archived all of my work on Wattpad. And then around like junior, senior year, I became friends again with one of my longtime friends, and mm-hmm. they actually recommended AO3 to me. They were like, hey, look, I know Wattpad is kind of dying, but here's this thing. I think you might like it. And I was like, yeah. What is this? And then it kind of blew up from there. I found a new threshold in AO3. And around last year, I started persistently writing again because I was, mm-hmm. again, going through a really rough time. And I found myself just like dumping all of the ideas I had onto paper, but most of it's not even published. I have only posted 3 works on AO3, and mm-hmm. they're still not finished. So that's where I am now. And I have loved the community for so, so long. It has been my favorite thing to do. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Good. Awesome. So you said that you had removed all your works from Wattpad. Was there a reason behind like choosing to remove them other than just abandoning the account?
Well, I think one of the reasons was mainly because back then I was a huge like pantser. I would just write whatever came to mind. And then like rereading some of my stuff from back then, I was like, oh my god, what was that? Because like, huh? And I was like, the plots made no sense. Like, my writing was just icky. I wasn't in love with it anymore. And I finally just decided, like, I don't want people to, this is not the idea I want people of my writing online. I'm just going to, boop.
That's fair, you know. That's fair. And then have you always and forever been a YN fan fiction author? Or have you stepped out into the realm of ship fics?
Ooh, okay. So this is an interesting one because my main discography is YN fics because I find a lot of comfort in like those characters.
Of course.
But I've only written, I think, like 2 or 3 ship fics, but they've never been published.
Oh, all right.
I think one of them, My Hero Academia, I wrote 2 for I'm an Izu Osha defender till the day I die. I don't know. But I never posted those, to be honest with you. I never felt super comfortable.
I mean, that's fair. I think there are some works that are always just going to be for you, like any of my very early fan fiction that like never saw the light of day outside of my Google Drive. Those are for me and like me alone. Like, unless someone breaks into my Google Drive. Like,
no, like when I die, please trash it all. I don't want anyone to see it.
I write in my will. It's not like delete my work history. It's literally like go inside my Google Drive and delete everything.
No, exactly. I would be terribly embarrassed. I've kind of grown out of being embarrassed of actually writing fanfiction. Yeah. I think now I'm super comfortable being like, yeah, this is what I do for a hobby. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it, okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think Maya and I have also... Maya has, I think, as far as I've known her, has been comfortable with it. But I definitely was in the uncomfortability train for a very long time.
I mean, I also had a very large friend group.
Yeah,
that was very much, we all like used Tumblr, published on Tumblr, we all wrote stuff, we shared it with each other. So I was very fortunate in that regard. But it is nice to hear that more and more people are becoming comfortable with being like, yeah, I write this in my free time. Like, this is what I like to do. And it's becoming more of a thing, at least with the people that I've talked to about it, where it's like, oh yeah, that's cool. Like, good for you. Like, even then, I got a new job. I work at a library. I sort of brought it up with one of my coworkers. Like, like, she's like a 60-year-old woman. And she was like, yeah, that's cool. And I was like, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate
probably
that.
walked away like, oh no, what has Gen Z become? Oh no.
Nah, she's cool, I think.
We'll see. Huge, huge, huge W from her, to be honest.
Real.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, like, I don't want to, like, shake our own hands on this, but, like, I like, monitor our emails, and the amount of emails that we have gotten from people who, like, you know, they give us fanfiction recommendations, or they ask to be on the podcast as fanfiction authors, like, I don't even know if I can count the amount of people anymore that have said, like, oh, you've helped me, or, like, your podcast has... Like, I've talked to my mom about it, or I brought it up with my friend, and it's always just a very surreal experience that, like, I don't know, I didn't do that. Yeah, thank you.
I think, for sure, I owe you guys a little bit of credit. I stumbled upon this, actually, I think a few months ago, mm-hmm. and I'm going to refer to Maya here, but I remember I'm an artist, and I got a job painting a mural at a school, and I just remember stumbling upon Sincerely Not, and I listened to the episode, and I cried.
I'm so sorry.
I was sitting in the hallway with the paper, so I go, I was like, what the hell? No, please, don't do this to me. And after that, I was like, it was great. I was having a blast.
Oh my God.
I love to be hurt.
Your very first episode being Sincerely Not is so funny to me.
I'm so sorry. I traumatized everyone, and I still feel bad about it.
And, like, mind you, I know nothing about Jujutsu Kaisen. I read the Tumblr so fast.
That's our... And I don't know if it's that, like, a credit to the work itself, to Saint and... their work, but like we have also heard that where they're like, I don't know shit about Jujutsu Kaisen, but holy fuck, Sincerely Not.
They are, I think Saint Tobio, in my opinion, deserves every bit of recognition. They are wonderful.
100%.
I could talk about that.
I would get down on her knees.
I want Saint to marry me so bad. I'm their biggest fan. I love them so much. And I know I say it like once an episode, and I don't care. I mean it every time I say it.
But you're so real for that, because I get it. That was my first introduction into that. And then after that, I was like, hey, there are other people like me.
Cute. I know. It's very odd because we kind of mentioned in our little pre-recording that it's just like, we're just people. Maya's constantly stressed out about school, and I am just like, I just like lay on my couch for most of the time, like reading fan fiction and taking little notes. And it's just like, I don't, thank you. But like the amount of the idea of like being a source of like confidence for people is just like,
But I think with that, what's beautiful about it is that even from your couch, you've created such a bold standing on a topic that most people who aren't in the fandom space take very sourly.
Right.
And you've created this like bubble of confidence and you're like, hey, no, come here. Like, this is okay. I'm going to hold your hand. You're doing great.
Keep going.
Be our friend. Please.
Be your friend.
And I love that. I think that a more positive outlook on just fan works as a whole is what we really need in the fandom space. Because it can get very toxic.
It absolutely can. I remember when Maya and I first kind of started thinking about doing it, like one of our big driving points was like, man, a lot of people who talk about fan fiction talk about like the crack fix or like the bad fan fiction.
Right.
And it was just like, I don't really know. I don't really understand the audience of that. Like, I kind of get it in the sense of like the big YouTubers who like find crack fix on Wattpad or whatever and like act them out. And it's just like, it's funny. Like, I get it. But then there's like full podcasts being like, yeah, fan fiction is like kind of shit. We'll like find the worst ones. But you get, there's a lot of bad ones. My Immortal being like the bad of bad. Like it's our biblical work at this point.
Right.
But it was definitely one of our like major factors of being like, man, it all gets shit upon. And there's like, you know, after we started it, we found other podcasts that did talk about it in a positive way, but you know, I think if we have like a goal for it, it's just like we want to grow big enough that it's just like enough people know that like, and what you're not, what you're doing is not weird, and like you have the literary prowess, and it's not like it's quality work, and just because it's fan fiction doesn't mean it's any lesser than like classic novels or, you know, traditionally published people.
Exactly. And I think like the good thing about that is you give people who want to write but have no experience writing, mm-hmm. like fanfiction gives them that foundation of things Absolutely. That are already laid out for them. And obviously you have people who are authors who still write fanfiction. I think that's yes. awesome, because it's like, yes, please, your writing style with this character is a match made in heaven. Yeah. I need you to post on AO3 immediately. but then you have like those beginners who it's like, you know, they want so bad to create their own universe. But mm-hmm. I like, for me as an artist, I hit art block all the time. And, you know, what do artists do? They go and they find inspiration from other artists and other works. And so I think it's such a great community to have, because then you get to pick up on other people's works and how they write. And it's like, ooh, yeah. I love the way they wrote this, or I love the way that they interpreted this idea. And I think that's what makes fan fiction so beautiful for so many people online, especially on AO3 too. It's such a beautiful mm-hmm. community.
Yeah, and I think definitely with having the author interviews, which are like definitely one of my absolute favorite parts of this podcast, is that like for the longest time, fan fiction authors were like a very silent group of people, where it was right. just like, for a lot of it, it was just like a username. And it was just like, you didn't really notice the person behind the screen. And of course, within the last couple years or so, like they've been going on Twitter, and like you can follow your favorite author on Twitter or Instagram or whatever. But like to be able to listen to your favorite author or just any other author and like be able to like, I think it's just more tangible to like hear another person like talking about fan fiction or like the right. way that they write fan fiction versus like, you know, people who are very, I think Maya's called it very like snotty and like prissy before, the ways that they talk about, oh, I'm writing my traditionally published and this is how I lay out my entire mm-hmm. world building, whatever.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's just when you get your favorite authors on here too, it gives those people a boost of confidence, because it's like you said, they're just regular people, you know, mm-hmm. they are just regular people sitting at their computer, like, you know, maybe they're struggling through something and they just need to write to get it off their chest, and it becomes someone else's favorite work, you know. It's like, yeah. they're all people too, and hearing them, it's like hearing them be people and hearing them being so humane is like, hey, maybe this is like okay, maybe I don't have to be so worked up about like telling people I have this alias online, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that's really great. I think mm-hmm. that all of the authors you have had on here so far are all amazing, and they just bring out so much light for this. And I think like what y'all do specifically for that, the way you guys set it up to make sure that you know, everyone gets a chance to talk about their own way that they like to create, which I think is really cool.
Well, thank you. Going back to your fan fiction, mm-hmm. we talked about Little Undertale before. What mm-hmm. is your history with Undertale? When did you start playing the game? And what was it about the game and the characters that made you want to write fan fiction about them specifically?
Oh, okay. This is such an interesting question, because like Undertale specifically for me, like I think, and I've talked about this like with everyone who's ever played Undertale before, mm-hmm. it's the choice. You get to make a choice to be a good or bad person. But also like I said, these humans, these monsters, they're so humane in such a good way. I started playing the game, I didn't start playing the game up until a few years ago, but when I first stumbled upon Jacksepticeye playing it in, I think, 7th grade, 8th mm-hmm. grade, around, I think what I loved about it was, one, the ability to create such a beautiful story out of an Atari-themed style.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, this looks so retro. This is so cool. And then, like, you see these characters and the way they interact with each other. And I just found myself at every corner, like, giggling, laughing. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't stop smiling. I don't know what it was about Toby Fox's writing, And then, like, the music makes you want to stay. Like, even if you're losing terribly in a fight, like, you'll just sit there and I'll just, like, bop my head to the music because it's just so good. And, like, I just found myself, like, after school days, just, like, going home and, like, watching these two-hour-long episodes, like, I don't have to do anything. I could just watch this person play this game. And it was also the way Toby Fox wrote it. It's like, he wrote it in a way that, like, my little brain at the time couldn't understand, like, multiverses and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the way you could go about all these different endings and, like, it was your choice. And the way he wrote the characters to be super mysterious. And don't get me wrong, like, the minute I stumbled upon Sans, I was like, who are you?
We will talk about him later. I promise you.
And, like, also seeing characters like Papyrus, that made me feel so validated for, like, having ADHD and all that. Because, like, I could see myself in him. I'm like, he's so cool. Like, you know, and then obviously watching, like, Undyne and Alphys be, like, a open lesbian couple, it was so also extremely validating because I was like, you know, very awkward time in my life and seeing like all of these characters like interact. I don't know what it was about it. It just meant so much to me. And I remember specifically in the pacifist route, like when you get towards a new home and as I mentioned, like I was struggling a lot going into like my eighth grade freshman year of high school. Mm-hmm. And the line, like, despite everything, it's still you, with, like Frisk being all beaten up and stuff, like looking in the mirror, like that stuck with me for a very long time because like despite everything like life has thrown at me, like I'm still me. Mm-hmm. And I still have the choice to make my life better and like choose to walk a better path. And that was like the moment that game had become like my favorite game in the world, I think. Yeah. And that stuck with me for such a long time. Fan fiction wise, I think I'm gonna be 100% honest. I think like the minute I stumbled upon the ending of the Genocent route, I was like, hey, you're cool. I like you.
So you have played both then. You've played the pacifist and the violent ending?
I have.
Okay. Which one do you prefer?
That's such a hard question. On one hand, the pacifist route is so fun because you get to do all these puzzles and things and mm-hmm. like the music is always upbeat. But then like Genocide, you get to encounter Sans, which is like everyone's favorite moment in Genocide. Mm-hmm. And also Undyne, the Undying. And I think personally, I'll have to choose the Genocide just because lore-wise, it's lore packed heavy.
Mm, and Maya's favorite.
The lore.
I'm a lore girly. Oh, when the minute they went through that Genocide route and Jacksepticeye hit Undyne, I was like, man, listen, this story goes hard. This music goes hard. Like, I don't think anyone could ever prepare me for a battle against a true hero, okay? I was wrecked. I think I'll have to go with Genocide. It's such a lore packed, it's not as fulfilling, quote unquote, as the pacifist route, but I think lore wise, it's just so much more juicy that way. I think you get so much more like story out of it that way.
Maya, what's your favorite?
That is a good question because I've done like, I guess technically all three since like there's like the middle, like sometimes you kill people, sometimes you don't. And then it's just kind of like, meh. I think just for like music's sake, the pacifist route.
Okay.
That's valid.
Like I listened. It wasn't so much the story that had an impact on me when I played it. It was more so the music. And, like, that's where I pulled a lot of my emotional, like, trauma in regards to this game. So, like, I remember when I bought it on Steam, I also bought the soundtrack, which was unnecessary. And I didn't need to do that, but I did. And then, like, I downloaded it. Like, I think I still have it on a USB drive somewhere in my house. So, no, like...
That's so you.
Yeah. So I listened to it so much. And, like, I learned how to play everything on piano because I was, like, that kid.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I would say Pacifist just for, like, the music's sake. I will say the Genocide Fights gave me... I was stuck on it for like 2 weeks. I'm not gonna lie, I was very frustrated with myself because Undying really took me forever,
and Sands took me
forever. So
it also takes forever.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Pacifist for music and also mental lack of mental frustration.
I know this is like a curveball too, but Asgore, like Bergen Trucking, leading into Asgore, my favorite thing in the world. I think if anyone can play that on piano, you have my whole heart. Kiss, kiss.
Whoa.
Maya would say kiss, kiss. Okay, so we mentioned him a little bit, but you specifically write Sans/Reader fanfiction. Those are your like published fanfictions on AO3. Mm-hmm. I have a yes or no question before I have the second question. Are you a Sans Tumblr Sexy Man truther?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Duh. Whoa. When that went down on Twitter, Sans Undertale versus Tengen. No, it wasn't Tengen. I don't know.
It was Reagan from Mob Psycho.
When that went down on Twitter, I literally went on my TikTok and I was like begging my followers. I was like, listen, y'all gotta pull through for my man. And the fact that he pulled off by like one vote is astounding.
Yeah. So I eventually one day want to do a deep dive into the sexy man of Tumblr because I think it's very fascinating. I was not a part of that side of Tumblr somehow. But I want to ask you, what is it about Sans that categorizes him as a sexy man, in your opinion?
Okay, so this is... I've been waiting for someone to ask me this. So
I'm so glad I could do it for you.
Oh my God, thank you. But okay, so the idea of a Tumblr sexy man is that they throw in characters that are like, in theory, are unconventionally...
Yes.
Like, not attractive, right? Yes. And then, like, the fan artists go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs on Twitter, and they start making, like, this, like, uber Chad fan art of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes him a sexy man in particular is, one, his height.
two, short king.
Short king. And two, I think the fact that he has no, like, actual skin or, like, facial features.
He's a skeleton.
Can interpret him literally any way they want, and so I think that is what contributes to him being a sexy bit, is because the artists.
Yeah,
I have taught myself never to scroll too far on Google.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So, is there anything about their personality, or does it only have to do with the way that they look?
I think personality too, because for me, I like super sweet, like goofy. Fictional men, like I love the sweet boy aesthetic.
Yeah,
and I think that's really great, and that also pertains to like probably a little bit about my boyfriend too, just because like I really just love men who are super sweet and super kind, and also
the golden
very
retriever
goofy.
Boyfriend.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think I have to go with personality too. But for some of them, I'm kind of like, you're a bad, you hate everything, but you don't hate me. So, you know, when you read fanfictions like that, it's super awesome.
Right. So, were you a part of the original Tumblr sexy men revolution of Sans?
So, I was technically on Tumblr. I had an account, but I actually wasn't a part of Tumblr. I wasn't on Tumblr really at all. I really was on it for like Undertale like fan art.
Yeah.
So I don't think so. I was on there. I was on Wattpad when like the wave of Tumblr sexy man right. Wattpad. I was there. I was like, oh, what is this? Oh my God. What is this influx of works? I don't know. Who is this green man with the hat? I don't know who he is.
We're going to do this podcast podcast long enough that one day I will have a Onceler stand on this podcast.
No.
Yes. One day.
Yes.
Save me.
And I will be tuning in.
One of these days. I just think the concept of Tumblr Sexy Men is so interesting because it's like, first of all, I think it's just the exact point of reference for like the women's gaze of like, these are such unconventional looking men. Like when they made the Lorax, never once did they think like the Onceler was going to become like this hot piece of ass commodity Tumblr. Like never once did I think anyone in that boardroom ever think that. And yet Tumblr did as Tumblr does.
Exactly. The girlies will take any man that looks like a grease ball off the street and turn him kind into of something beautiful.
Kind of. So it's very fascinating to me, especially as someone who wasn't into any of the Tumblr sexy men. Maya, do you understand the sans, at least the sans specific Tumblr sexy men?
I understand why people are into him. Me myself am not.
Yeah.
But like I get it. Like same with like Megaton, like the robot,
the Metaton? Transformer,
yeah, Metaton
or Megatron, both of them TBH.
Both of them, like I've seen for both of them. So like I understand that, and like Undyne and Alphys, I understand. Like I get why most people are into the Undertale cast.
Yeah,
personally, like Asgore.
Oh,
maybe
no,
a little something
right
there. Maybe a little something, but
I don't
like,
know something about the king with the he who owns a flower shop in Deltarune. Just like it just my brain the right way.
Yeah, me too, man. So like I understand, but also like with the Tumblr sexy man. Sorry to cut you off, Sydney.
No. Go ahead.
With the Tumblr sexy man thing, it's also like we're all just delusional. Like let's get real. We all just look at them and we're like, he would treat me right. He wouldn't. The delusion's real. And
when you gotta have that delusion. Yeah, the Delulu got me.
Real.
I think for any YN, like the amount of delusion that has to go into any form of character, having to be like, this man would love me in any regard. Like, there's a bit of delusion. It's like, okay, I'm gonna. I have
a lot
of
cringe. You're so right, but I love it.
I have a lot of like Hawks merchandise from my time as a true and giant Hawks stan. Not that I'm saying that some aren't recent, but a lot of it is from like the summer of 2020 to like the summer of 2021.
That's when My Hero got a chokehold on people, including me.
I have a lot of merch, and I've recently been seeing this guy. He came over to my apartment, and like he saw like my little shrine that I put together for him, and he was like, "Oh, you really like?" And I was like, "Oh no, yeah,
maybe."
I thought when I was really lonely and like listening to those like NSFW VA artists.
Oh my god, you just that, like, unlocked something within me.
He would treat me right, you know.
Because, like, let's be honest, would he actually know? No. But it's a nice thought.
I'm glad the girlies are being honest with themselves today.
It's the same way with Sans. Like, would he actually treat me right? Hell no. He's just a giant shitpost. But, like, do I think he would?
Hold on. I agree with you. I'm just going back because I just registered what Maya had to say. The woman who's currently in love with Gojo himself would treat you correct, right?
Listen, I never said that. Don't put words in my mouth, all right, girl?
You're being honest.
Yeah. Listen, I don't think once I've been like, yeah, Gojo would treat me right. No. That's why I read Sincerely Not. He would toss me to the side and then regret it later.
It's the blue eyes. I gotta be honest.
He's pretty.
I look at him and I'm like, man, you're so pretty. Bro's down bad gorgeous, but
no,
man, would you mentally fuck me up?
He's literally like, he's so fictional that like to the point where it's just like, I know that if I saw him on a dating app, I would swipe left because I'm like, he's too good looking. There's no way he's too good looking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But because he's fictional, I'm like, I have a shot.
Right.
Again, the delusion.
The delusion of it all.
The Delulu is like the rat from Ratatouille in our brains, okay?
Oh my god. Oh my god, literally. I don't think I will ever be as deep though as like the summer of 2020. Like
it was bad.
It was bad.
TikTok like, edits being saved. Mm-hmm. We TikTok sent them to each edits, other.
Literally listening Listen. To She Who Will Not Be Named, anime voice acting, uh-huh. NSFW. Uh-huh.
I mean, we don't claim her anymore, but listen, do you think I would forget the Haikyuu edits? Do you think I would forget the Fortnite edits? No, I wouldn't.
Literally, I have never found another human being besides Maya, because Maya and I, from time to time, will, like, look her up on Patreon to see, like, how she's doing, and it, like, consistently right? goes down by thousands.
Duh, I kid you not, I was on the same boat in 2020, and I'm embarrassed. I have never, listen, I'm downright embarrassed I ever did that.
Yeah,
100%. Just like this, yeah, like I'm gonna put it on the table and leave it here. If anyone who knows me is listening to this, I didn't do that. I lied. That was I'm actually lying to you right now. Stop gaslighting yourself into thinking I actually did that. Please no.
I've told Maya and I've told other people, but, like, I was down so bad that it was, like, not even, like, her, but it was, like, other dudes that, like, there was a girl that I followed on TikTok.
Oh my God.
All she did was post content of, like, the NSFW voice actors on Reddit and stuff like that. And so, like, she'd post, like, some video, and then I'd go and check them out. And then, like, of course, like, fucking dominoes, one by one, they all turn out to be awful people.
Exactly. When She Who Must Not Be Named, like, actually came out to be a bad person, I was like, okay, low key, I'm kind of glad I fell off that train before I found, like, before this all went down. That way I am not associated with it whatsoever.
Yeah.
Because she's a terrible person, but also, like, I don't want to be, I don't ever want to go back to 2020.
Oh my God. Brain rot, honestly.
I know you were a Hawks girly, but, like, for me personally, I was a Deku girly, and, I mean, I still am, but, like, also, it was embarrassing.
Dude, it was all the little nicknames. It really was. Yeah, that was, like, the most cringe, embarrassing part that I was like, why did we ever fall for that?
Uh-huh. And why did we think that was good?
God.
Really? The DeLuca got us so bad.
God, it really did. Okay, I gotta go back on track somehow. So I have, this was gonna be a new question, but you kind of figured it out already. We kind of have a new question to our repertoire, and that's if you are a pantser or a planner. You kind of said before that you were a pantser, but have you changed after your whole shutting down your Wattpad and restarting on AO3? Have you changed it? Are you still a pantser, or have you kind of started planning more?
I think right now I am a planner.
Okay.
Just because, like I said, I'm not on my meds, y'all. I go off track so easy.
Yeah.
And when I'm writing, I'll, like, get so lost in thought that I'm like, wait, that actually makes zero sense. Let me delete that entire paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
I have, like, an entire, like, Google Doc for Skyfall right now. Because, like, that fic specifically, I want to be so, like, I want it to be good. And that's my baby right now, and I think if I were to pants it, I would fuck it up. So I really want to take time, care, and love into making sure that, like, this one specifically makes sense, first of all, but also creates kind of a new universe surrounding Undertale and creates, like, a new perspective on the way, like, magic works and stuff. And I really want to world build that as best as I can. So I think right now I'm a planner.
Right.
For the other two, like the one-shot one, I'm not. I'm a complete pantser. I just write whatever comes to mind whenever I'm sad. But other than that, like, I haven't posted more to the one-shot just because I frankly haven't had the time to. But
yeah,
for specifically for the one-shot, I'm a pantser. But for literally anything else that's, like, serious, I'm a planner.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah, and so then are you planning to go back to, I know you have Skyfall, which is, like, the one that you have on top, so it's, like, the one that you just recently posted to, and then you have For This You Were Born, that are both unfinished, so do you plan to go back to those?
For that one specifically, it got a little rough, because for a hot minute, I was nonstop writing it, and then I realized, like, wait, some of this doesn't make sense. I'm thinking about either A, continuing it, or B, just rewriting the whole thing.
Okay.
Because I know you're not too much of an Undertale girly, but
yeah.
And I don't know, Maya, if you're into all the AUs, but, like, It's the royalty one that I love so much. I forgot the name of it. But that royalty AU had a chokehold on me for a long while. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure if I'll complete that one, to be honest with you. I have kind of fallen out of love with it a little bit.
Okay.
But I'm trying to get myself motivation to start writing that one again, because I still think the idea is pretty cool.
Yeah, okay. Nice. I just think that, like, obviously, like, even if you don't go back, I think that's just, like, the one... It's, like, another, like, it's not, like, beautiful, especially when you're, like, please, I want this to update so badly. But it's, like, you know, it's what fan fiction is. It's just, like, it's, mm-hmm. it really is just, like, a labor of love. And it's just, like, when you're not in love with it anymore, like, what are you really supposed to do with that? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you don't want to force yourself into doing something just to get it done, because then that leads to, like, worse burnout.
Yeah, and it also, I feel like, leads into, you can just tell and, like, in, like, my writing, when I get burned out, it's, like, it's not as, like, emotional when I'm burned out. It's, like, mm-hmm. I force myself to make these transitions that probably won't work, but I try to make work. And after that, I'm just, like, I want so badly to get to this point, like, the climax of it, but I can't bring myself to write these, like, filler chapters that, to me, are really boring.
Right, and, right.
You know, so if I'm burnt out, I don't want that to affect how I write specifically.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So then for your writing, you've written a lot on Wattpad, and then you have the three on AO3, some royalty AU. And is there a trope that you have yet to write that you want to? And then on the other side of the coin, is there a trope that you would never touch ever?
Right. Okay. So this is kind of... Okay, my favorite trope just overall is forced proximity. I love writing the tension. And I love reading it too. I'm like, oh my God, kiss. But just like this idea that they want to kiss each other, but they can't, you know? Because mm-hmm. like, there was only one bed is the one.
Absolutely.
I want to write so badly. But I'm like, I don't think I have the ability to create that kind of tension. Because like, how do I make this emotional enough to be like make the reader physically like cower under their covers because they're really just like, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then like one trope I think I will never touch. Okay, this one specifically, I don't think I could ever touch, like, I don't know if it's a trope, but like mafia. I don't think I would ever be able to.
Maya. Those are fighting words.
I'm sorry. It's just super difficult for me to write. Like, I don't know.
That was such a genuine apology.
Yeah.
I'm so okay. Sorry.
No, don't, dude, you're fine.
But for me, like, when it comes to, like, mafia AUs, it's just like, okay, how do I make this character who's, like, who isn't edgy as possible? Mm-hmm. How do I make them uber Chad, you know? Mm-hmm. And I physically can't. And also, like, I suck at writing, like, combat scenes. Specifically, like, oh my God, like, gun go burr, I guess. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think I would ever touch upon that, to be honest with you.
I think Maya, the queen of, like, action scenes.
This being very generous, I'm moderately good at them. Let's
She's
put it
amazing
that way.
At them.
Okay,
she's the best at them. But also, I think you can also probably know as well as more than I do probably because you know we talked about how I also don't do combat scenes because gun go burr and that's it.
Yeah, literally.
That like they are really difficult to write.
Specifically, okay, this is also. I know, like, Sans is my favorite character to write about, but, like, mm-hmm. writing his magic is so hard. I don't think people understand, like, oh, yeah, Gaster Blaster go burr, I guess. Like, like bone go burr. I don't know. I do my best to stray away from that and, like, focus more on his character. But sometimes it's really hard if you're writing, like, a genocide-specific story. And
I think Maya and I have, like, really... understood because I'm very emotion based, Maya's very action based, and it's very difficult to teach either. Mm-hmm. It's like very difficult to like teach how to write emotions. Or, and then on the flip side, it's really hard to be like, well, you just say what's going on. And you're just like, oh, what do you mean? I just put down on the page what's going on. And then it's right. just nothing.
What are the synonyms for sobbing? Can anyone elaborate? No.
You're literally just looking at like synonym for run.
Like... Exactly. And I think emotionally too, as a fanfiction author, I'm the type of person, I want to make people feel hurt.
Yeah.
I want them to invoke that emotion. Like, mm-hmm. I want you to walk away from this fic, go on TikTok, cry, and then post, fanfiction authors cannot keep getting away with this. Like, I want that. If the minute someone posts that about me is the minute I've made it.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you.
That's beautiful. I think that's beautiful.
But I also want to be, like, that happy, like, fulfilled type emotion, you know.
Right. So for your fan fiction, I know we talked about you're like getting around to, you know, restarting Skyfall and continuing that and planning for more of that, but is there any other fandom / characters or even Undertale characters that you have wanted to or have thought of writing about?
Ooh, this is an easy one, and it is Undertale specific, but Gaster. I think his character, the fact that there isn't much to him is mm-hmm. so fun, because it's basically just a free-for-all at that point. I can write whatever I want about this man, and it can be considered, like, at that point, it could be canon, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any new things planned at the moment, just because I am still in school for the next few weeks, and so I haven't had time to just sit down and just write. But with other fandoms... I recently, this is, I guess call me cringe, but I recently started playing video games a lot more. I don't have anything planned, but fanfiction wise, like reading, I have like searched for like Valorant, Overwatch mm-hmm. type fics that I think, because I love it when people interpret characters. But for me personally, I don't have anything planned.
So you're still in the world of Undertale very strongly.
Very, very strongly. And I think I'll continue to stay there, to be honest, because there's just so much to it. I have works like in my archives that I want to redo, mm-hmm. like with my hero and stuff like that. But like I said, it just comes with time.
Yeah. How do you keep writing for this fandom, where like you said it was very popular in like 2014 2015 era, and now, you know, they have Deltarune, but you said that you don't really intake that content, so how do you keep the excitement for, you know, a game that retrospectively is not as popular as it once was?
I think for sure the AUs mm-hmm. And this is probably a hot take, but I personally think that like the Undertale multiverse, when you look at it in a retrospective, is extremely well put together. And I could go on a long rant about that, but I think the AUs and the idea that because Toby Fox introduced this idea that, hey, there are other worlds out there mm-hmm. with these characters that you can create, and technically, quote unquote, they're canon, so you can just have fun. I can just take these characters and like do a 180 with like Toriel, where it's like she's not as nice, and like you go on down mm-hmm. this route where like, you know, she's the psycho killer and stuff like that. Like just the idea that you can create practically anything with these characters, right. And technically, quote unquote, it's canon. And I like the idea that sometimes that these characters act out of character, and they act in a way that's very human. And I also like exploring the ideas of the unknown, like Gaster. Gaster is a character, like, in the game, he's not delved upon at all. In fact, you only see him for about, like, 4 seconds, if you're mm-hmm. lucky enough. And I think, like, being able to be like, hey, I love this trope of, like, him being a scientist and, like, yada, 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 and all that. Just the idea that what you create, you can literally create anything you want, and it could mm-hmm. be considered canon. Whereas with Deltarune, I don't feel like it's as much that way.
Okay.
But I'm not too delved into that verse, so I can't say much about that.
Right. Yeah, is it? I probably talked to you, Maya, about it, but is Deltarune completely different from Undertale?
So it's more like one of those alternate universes that they're talking about, but it's also like, at least in the way that I see it, it's coming out in chapters. So right now, only the first two chapters are out, and each of them are completely different. So it feels like a different game. The mechanics are the same. It's still an RPG, but it's like you're meeting these new villains every time you go in. And like from the first chapter into the second chapter, there's still characters from the first chapter that are reoccurring. Uh-huh. And they're like new part of the cast, quote unquote. Yeah. But the way that I see it is it's like each of the chapters kind of delves into like a trauma almost.
Okay.
So it could be like, oh, I'm going to write this thing in this weird, funky, whack way where like I'm actually just trying to hit on this specific mental illness question mark. Okay. And then like you're just kind of world building around that. So while it is different, a lot of the cast from Undertale is in the game, but the main, our three protagonists are not from Undertale. They are completely new.
Okay. I get, that makes sense. Okay. I was just, because I know that we've talked about it before, but you know how well I intake information of things that I am not a fan of. So I had forgotten if it was like completely different or if it's still in the vein of Undertale. So it still seems like it's in the vein of Undertale.
A lot of people thought for a long time it was a sequel.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I guess what also drove me away too was just, this is also a hot take, but watching like my favorite characters have completely different stories in that kind of drove me away a little bit. Like, you're telling me we only see Papyrus for like 5 seconds and he's gone? Like, he's an icon. Like, maybe I'm salty about it, but to be honest, I do feel I haven't given Deltarune a super fair chance, but I leave it at that. I don't touch that realm.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's fine. I don't think anybody needs to take any media, like, well, like, I don't think it's just, like, you really need to give any media a chance. Like, if you don't want to give it a chance, like, you just don't, right? Like, so I think, like, that's fair, especially if you already have a, like, a connection with it. You know, I'm personally, like, very excited for the new Percy Jackson show coming out on Disney+. But if it was, like, going in the way the movies did, I'd be like, I'm not even giving that a chance because you already fucked up once and I'm not going through this again. And thank you.
That's how I feel with a FNAF movie. If they mess this up, I will literally
Don't even get me started.
I'll cry. But so far, like, just a complete side note, I'm also a huge FNAF girly. And so I'm just telling you right now, if I'm sitting in a movie theater and I see and I hear the phone ringing, bawling immediately.
It's been a very fun time with us because every single piece of news, every single person in Maya's life sends it to her.
Everyone has sent me when set photos came out, everyone was like, Maya, look at the sign. Isn't it so cool? Aren't you so excited? And it's like,
we got a date. Everybody sends it to Maya.
Yes,
literally. There is not a single thing that Maya doesn't know about this movie.
No, I'm so excited. Me too. I stalk everyone, the cast and like the production on Twitter, and I'll do the same thing. I did the same thing with my boyfriend, and I'll be like, hey, look, listen, hey, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. This is so cool. Can you believe we've waited 7 years for this? And, like, I will just go down a spiral. And I think it's really funny.
Yeah. It's really going to be, like, the I cannot apologize for how insufferable I will be when this movie comes out.
So real. The fandom girlies are getting fed well this year.
Honestly? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been a good time. Okay. So what has been your best piece of writing advice that you've ever come across that you want to share?
I think that it doesn't matter if the character you're writing about is considered quote unquote cringe. If you have a personal connection to it and you want to explore a new universe with this character in your own way, go for it. you will receive backlash. You will receive, like, oh, you're cringe. But at the end of the day, like, you love this character a lot. Mm-hmm. And if you like them, who gives a shit? You know? Write that fanfiction, girl. Like, there will be some people out there who are too afraid to do that, who are too afraid to write about this character because they're afraid of getting backlash. And you could be the very first person that writes about it. So go for it. Even if it's Sans fanfiction, like, I will be there rooting for you, girl, because I'm like, yes, new Sans content, give.
Exactly. It's so odd because, like, you know, we kind of, I think we spoke about it in the beginning of the episode, but it's like, yeah, there is, like, a stigma against fanfiction to the world, and then there's a stigma against YN fanfiction to fanfiction authors, and then there's a stigma for, like, specific characters, and then in YN, that it's just like, can we all just have fun, please?
Exactly. Like, let me write about my little skeleton man. Like, it doesn't bother you at all, okay? He's angsty in my world, and that's all that matters.
I don't care that he started a genocide.
Exactly.
I love him. But, Daddy, I love him.
Exactly. Yeah. I will do anything for this man.
We've talked about, I'm already delusional. I already understand. Mm-hmm. Just please.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, so of your fics, either those that were on Wattpad or the ones that are published on your archive of our own account, we have a YN's choice. So of the fics that you have written, what is your favorite and why?
I think so far it actually is Skyfall.
Okay.
Just because I think, like, right now I am pumping out my best work. And also the plot, I think, is going to get really, really good. I am introducing this long line of completely new characters that are going to interact with the gang, you know, the gang TM. But I'm also introducing, like, this, like, lore of magic that wasn't previously expressed in Undertale. And I am really proud of it so far. I really like how far I've gone. And I think, as well, I'm really excited for these new batch of characters that I get to write about that feel personal to me.
Very nice. Okay, so we have made it to our very last question. So what is your favorite fix or the fix that you would recommend the most?
Oh my god, I've been waiting for this. I've literally been sweating. I'm sweating. Okay, so listen, guys, hear me out, okay? If you are an Undertale girly and you need some juicy, good fanfiction, but you don't want to read Flowey's Not a Good Life Coach because you don't want to be traumatized again, okay?
Damn.
Listen, I get it. Damn. I get it. It was traumatizing. However, Algernon by Parsnippet on AO3. There's actually two more fics I will recommend, but this one specifically, I just remember, I have major daddy issues, okay? So, like, I was, like, laying in my bed, and I'm not gonna spoil it at all, but I just remember getting to a point where I was like, oh my god, I have daddy issues, and I cried. I, like, sobbed for an hour, because I was like, holy shit, they shouldn't be able to get away with this, this is not okay. It is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful AU about Gaster exploring being a dad. And I think it is a beautiful fanfiction. Even if you're not in the Undertale verse, like, you don't have to be an Undertale girly to read it. But just read it, please. Do me a favor. Do me a favor. Read it, please.
If you get one thing from this episode, it's to read this fanfiction.
Yes, yes, yes. 100%. And the second one is... I actually have to look at my phone for the title because I wrote these down. Okay. It's called When I'm Gone by Kitty Kitty Bo Biddy. Interesting name, but it's great. On AO3. And I also cried to this. It is a My Hero fanfiction that ruined me. If you like being hurt, this is the fanfiction for you. I'm like, I'm being so serious right now. I have not cried this much ever. It hurts so bad. And then the last one is actually, funnily enough, on Wattpad. It is still on Wattpad to this day. And it is called Can You Hear Me by Melody of Chaos on Wattpad. Melody, if you hear me, please update. It's been so long.
Oh,
I love you
so
much. But that fic, it's not technically completed. She actually was doing a rewrite, but the in the original, you get to a point where you're kind of satisfied with how it ends, and you're like, okay, I took everything I needed from this. And yeah, those three, it is so good. That one, the last one, is also an Undertale fanfiction. It is a, in classic me fashion, a sans YN. So, go have fun.
Hell yeah. I think this has been our first Wattpad fanfiction recommendation, actually.
Is it actually? Oh my god.
I think so. We've gotten fanfiction.net and obviously Archive of Our Own, but I think this is our first Wattpad fanfiction recommendation.
I tried using fanfiction.net, and damn, was that app confusing.
We know.
It's so hard to use. And then after a while, I was like, okay, and I left.
Yeah, fanfiction.net was only used because it was the only thing around for the longest time. Yeah.
And I still kind of shocked that I ever made it to the point of ever using fanfiction.net. But hey, listen, they are going strong, okay?
Some of them are, although I still am waiting for the day that they are, like, fanfiction.net shutting down for good. I know that day is going to come within the next 5 to 10 years. I feel it in my bones.
Should we throw a party?
How did you get the money?
I think we should throw a party for the death of fanfiction.net.
Actually, I feel kind of bad, but hey, guys, if there's popcorn...
we just have a death of a friend, really. I don't know if fanfiction.net's a friend, actually. Now that I think about it.
No.
But yeah. All we need is, like, someone to... All we need is for someone to recommend, like, is LiveJournal still around? Like, someone to recommend LiveJournal.
Quotev.
Quotev. Maybe DeviantArt.
Oh my god, did DeviantArt fanfiction.
And then surprisingly, I don't think we've gotten Tumblr yet, but we might have, and I might be wrong.
I don't think so. I think it's mainly been AO3 and the one fanfiction.net.
Yeah, so yeah, I think those are like the ones where it's like we need like Tumblr, we need like, you know, DeviantArt, LiveJournal, Quotev, and like we'd be set. We'd have like a fanfiction from every platform.
We're getting the Infinity Stones of fanfiction.
Kind of. That's exactly what we're doing. Yeah. We're just collecting all the Infinity Stones. And then we're going to delete fanfiction.net from the website, from the internet.
I am still so curious of how they're getting the funding to run that website. It is such a miracle.
Ads.
Guys, it's guys, let it die. I say let it die.
Let Archive of Our Own just take all the content from fanfiction.net and then just let it rest in peace, because it has had such a long and journeyous life that we just need to let her die.
She's a part of our history. She'll never be forgotten. Kiss, kiss. But AO3 has too much money now. Just let it happen.
Kind of. AO3 supremacy.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you.
We had such a blast.
It's been awesome.
Yeah. Do you have anything that you would like to promote? Social medias, your Archive of Our Own account, whatever.
You can just find me at Mika Mochi with 2 A's and 2 I's on AO3. And, you know, listen, I'm not going to shout at anything else because I'm cringe.
All right, that's totally fair. Live in obscurity.
Thank you guys
awesome.
So much.
Of course, thank you for being here. It was very fun. I don't think we've ever been able to talk about our jot into
No, listen, we didn't do those things. We
didn't do those things.
I don't know
things.
Who that we're was, talking about.
What are you talking about? That never happened. Huh?
Huh?
Thank you for listening to another episode of Canonically Incorrect. You can follow us on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and Tumblr. You can send us your fanfiction recommendations, or if you're a fanfiction author that would like to be on our show, email us at canonicallyincorrectpod@gmail.com. If you would like to support us, you can donate a one-time donation at ko-fi.com/canonicallyincorrect. You can subscribe to our Patreon monthly at patreon.com/canonicallyincorrect. Thank you to our Patreons, Autumnal River and Riley C, for your continued support.
Donate to AO3!
And we'll see you guys next time!
Bye! Bye.